Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is an NFL analyst and a two-time Super Bowl champion. Our friend Max Starks joining us this morning on the show. Max, good morning.
I'm doing good, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, I got to ask, as a former offensive lineman such as yourself, we eat turkey and Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, leftovers on Friday, maybe even some thirds on Saturday. Then we have Sunday. Are you still eating Thanksgiving leftovers on Monday?
You know, it's funny, because I had a college game on Saturday in Colorado, I didn't get Friday and Saturday, so I made up for it on Sunday.
Okay.
But they're all gone today.
Okay.
We're still good.
All right, very good. Let's talk about your former team, the Steelers and the Browns. What did you think of Freddie Kitchens wearing a T-shirt that says, Pittsburgh started it?
You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous, because as a head coach, you have to be elevated above the on-the-field situation. And let's be technically honest here, they started it. Myles Garrett doing the extra things, going, trying to take Mason Rudolph to the ground, 8 seconds left in the game when obviously, clearly, Mason Rudolph had given his body up because he had thrown the ball. So, you know, that's a natural thing. Quarterbacks will just go limp. Why am I fighting if I still have the ball in my hands? And for him to go that extra step, they technically started it. And unfortunately, they tried to finish it, but, well, we see what happened. Pittsburgh ended up finishing it at home. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to be above that. And it just constantly, as a former Steeler, it just consistently shows the class of the Cleveland Browns.
Do you think that the Browns themselves understand that they've been their own worst enemy, or do you think their heads are in the clouds?
Well, let's see. They haven't been to the playoffs since when? 2003?
Yes.
Yeah, they don't believe that. I mean, they have to realize that they're their own worst enemy. I think they keep thinking it's like bad luck, like they don't have the lucky rabbit's foot or they're missing a good horseshoe or something. But, you know, they have to realize they've been holding a grenade the entire time and pulled the pin. And every year it seems like they have to blow up and start over again. And the fact that, you know, you do have new ownership, this team has been transitioned. They played like an expansion team. There's expansion teams who have played like expansion teams over the same amount of time. And it's just one of those things where you just, I don't know what the answer is, because you went and you bought the offseason. Everybody talked about you. You got the buzz. You know, you do Hard Knocks a year before to bring some attention to your team, and you're still falling flat on your face. So it's just something where they're just consistently, they're the bad news bears.
Max Starks joins us here on the show. When you spent 9 years with the Steelers, how did you guys view the Browns organization?
As a team that, depending on when you got them, you didn't know if they were coming out, if they were going to give up the ghost to you, or if they were going to play hard. You know, they always had a great roster, and they always had talent, except for at the quarterback position, and you just didn't know what to expect. I think I only lost to them twice in my entire career. So it was something that, you know, you'd have guys at different points of their career just saying, hey, man, I'm just trying to make it to the offseason healthy. You know, you play them at certain points in the year. That's what's come to be assumed of them, and now they're supposedly competitive. But even when you look at them, they have technically the best-looking roster, but then you have character issues or you have lack of performance. There's so many different things that just never go their way. They never find the cohesive group together, coaching staff and personnel. And even though I like John Dorsey as a GM and what he's done, it's still coming to be challenges where you have to get everybody together. You can't just have segmented pieces because it's truly a holistic approach. When you look at the teams who are successful perennially, what's the consistency? Management, coaching, and personnel all flow cohesively. Even with looking at the Steelers, the consistency between Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin, his coaching staff, and the players that are there, there's still a cohesion there, and that's why they're always in the conversation. You never expect the Steelers not to be in the playoff hunt conversation year in and year out. Look at New England. Bill Belichick is the GM, so technically the GM and the coach are always in the right alignment. And then he always finds the perfect personnel. Even when you think the roster looks bad, they're still one of the best in the AFC year in and year out. And so that's where the issues come. There's never been that full cohesion when you look at the Cleveland Browns.
Max Starks is our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. From a Steelers standpoint, I try not to be a prisoner of the moment, and Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl and gone to another, and they've had some really good season under him. But is this actually one of his best coaching jobs ever?
I think so. You're on your fourth-string quarterback. Everybody says third string, but you have to remember, they traded Josh Dobbs, who was their original third string.
True.
And so you're down to your fourth-string quarterback, and you're still winning against teams who are preseason favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win divisions and everything else, and you pull out this massive thing, and you're missing Juju Smith-Schuster, arguably your best receiver, and James Conner, your starting running back, and you've had all of these changes along the way. You've lost Stephon Tuitt on defense, who is arguably one or two. You know, Cam Hayward and him, between him and Cam Hayward, were one and two as far as your best D lineman. You got a rookie middle linebacker, and quote-unquote, you have an inexperienced secondary, and to be in this position is fantastic. And kudos to Coach Tomlin and Kevin Colbert for coming together and still making this a very competitive team that's fun to watch week in and week out.
Did the Texans beating the Patriots last night tell you more about the Texans or the reality of the Patriots?
Reality of the Patriots. Tom Brady kind of hinted to it after the Baltimore game about their offense, and then he kind of elaborated it on the following week and against the Cowboys. And so now it's one of the things where you're like, okay, this team is not in the same type of mantra that we're used to, because you have to remember, the Patriots own December football, and this is a game in December, and they're already have a loss in December. And granted, they're still probably the number two seed because Baltimore moves up to the number one because of the head-to-head and the same record. But it is one of those things that's frightening. They got out to a great lead, but there's been so much inconsistency offensively, and you don't see that championship kind of charge that the New England Patriots usually give you in December, where the defense is just, you know, phenomenal. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. You know, you can throw a 2 yard out and all of a sudden it becomes a 35 yard gain. That's not happening with this team. And I don't know if it's the reality of Tom or it's the reality of finally their roster catching up to them and the lack of stars and playmakers that you have on it. But that was an indictment on them. And also, it was a great look on the other side for the Houston Texans to see Deshaun Watson play the way that he did. They looked phenomenal. They looked in control the entire contest.
Max Starks is our guest here on the show, 2-time Super Bowl champion. I like what you said there about what are the reasons for this Patriots offense to be kind of so out of whack right now. And I know that people point to lack of targets and big play weapons and offensive line, but some of this has to be Brady, right? I mean, he just doesn't seem as sharp or as tight or have as much zip on the throws as he has in the past. How much of this do you think is on number 12?
Well, it automatically starts on number 12 because of the fact that, he's the leader of this team. He's been the guy that has consistently been the leader. He's been the individual who, you know, has led this team. He's made the right throws to the mediocre guys, and he hasn't had those guys anymore, and he hasn't had the crisp targets that you would expect of him. And that's why, you know, this falls on him along with Belichick in the play call selection, because he's the GM, and the GM is responsible for personnel, right? And if you don't have the right personnel there to accomplish the goals that you're trying to accomplish, then that's now the GM has to go find those guys. And years past, you found that hard luck guy, right? You found the Josh Gordon guy. You found the Randy Moss, the guys who needed redemption. You tried to go get the Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown project didn't work this year. Josh Gordon, injury concerns and whatever else that we don't know about that hasn't been disclosed, you let him go. And now you're looking around, Julian Edelman's not is off injured. So Philip Dorsett was supposed to be another guy that was supposed to come in and help you when you brought him in from the Colts. And they haven't really come to fruition. Sony Michel's a good back, but Sony Michel has to be in the right offensive scheme. He's a true running back. James White, as you saw last night, is your best receiving option. You don't have the dual threat kind of guy that can get it done. And the offensive line is not as good. And usually in the past, Brady's made up for the lack of offensive line talent and made guys better. But you lose a Trent Brown in free agency. He goes to Oakland. So you have all of these different things working against you. And finally, we're starting to see that the Patriots are a human organization. They're not robots. And that's just the reality of it.
Finally, the big one yesterday, Ravens and Niners. Won by the Ravens in the last seconds with the field goal by Justin Tucker. When you looked at this game, did it show that the Ravens can win even in spite of maybe a less than brilliant effort from Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, because I thought even in less than ideal circumstances, and Lamar Jackson still performed at a very high level. You know, it's raining, it's sloshy, it's kind of chilly, and it's not the best conditions, and you think this is, okay, let's put a check for defensive line being after get after a quarterback who doesn't have footing. Well, that didn't happen. Let's see, throwing the ball in the air, you might not be as successful. Well, guys found the end zone through the air. And then, of course, having the most accurate kicker in NFL history and possibly one of the most valuable fantasy kickers in the last 5 years, Justin Tucker, puts it through the upright for the victory. So it's a complete team victory to know that Lamar Jackson is not having to carry his team, but his team walks lockstep with Lamar Jackson because the defense played very well as well. Sorry about that. Stymieing San Francisco. And you thought, okay, well, San Francisco, now they have another running back that they have to start. And can they get it done? The offensive line got a good game going on the ground. But that's when it comes down to quarterback prowess, quarterback IQ. And Lamar Jackson got his team out of some sticky situations with his legs. But he led and he did not try and overtake the game. And I think that's just a sign of really immense maturity for a second-year quarterback and not getting down, not trying to force the ball into bad situations and realizing you can live to play another play. And that's why they ultimately came out on top as victors.
Mm. Max Starks joining us this morning on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.